We're not going to fight anymore.
I'm also just a girl.
Dying to float.
Standing in front of a boy.
Such a great audience.
Put all y'all truckers up in here. It's time to keep it down right now.
Avengers!
Hello and welcome back to When Cinephiles Attack, a weekly podcast where four movie fans test the limits of their friendship. My name is Rashawn and I'm here with
Mella,
Josh,
Lacey,
and
Sam.
What's up?
Hey.
I felt that sigh all the way next door, Josh.
We couldn't end without bringing it back one more fucking time, huh?
We have had so many amazing people on the show, but this felt right as we end the show to have someone who's been on the show the most. I counted. Sam the man. Sam I am. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm happy to be back on, and I'm happy to be joined for the last episode. It feels very special. Thank you.
Well, it's not the last. Don't go
crazy. Pop his bubble. It's the last.
It's the last for
it's
him.
It's the last for him.
It's the last gauntlet, yeah.
I'm in shambles.
You've seen the title. This is the final WCA gauntlet. We are here to, once again, duke it out in the arena. The rules have changed slightly, but I'll get into that a little bit later.
Of course
funny,
they have.
Funny how that happens.
We haven't had this game for a year.
Wah, 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 wah.
Is all I hear. You know who doesn't complain? Sam.
Thank you.
Why don't you guys go start a podcast then?
they had a backdoor pilot like 3 weeks ago.
It was actually really great. I was into it.
It was.
It was the private practice to our Grey's Anatomy. Okay. So this gauntlet episode is specifically not towards a specific year, but towards every single movie that has appeared on When Cinephiles Attack. That means in order to be eligible for this episode's gauntlet, the movie needs to have been featured on a episode. So, no showdowns, no gauntlets, no rankings. Specifically, needs to be the title of the episode with a few caveats. There are a few doubleheaders. Yes, Josh, I knew your hand would be the first raised.
Specifically, the doubleheaders. Are those eligible?
They are. So, listener's choice, we had a few doubles episodes, a few sequels and prequels together. As long as the movie was the main review of the episode, it is eligible for the gauntlet. Yes, ma'am.
It's fine that Grease 2 is on your list, Josh. I know that's what you were asking.
Relax.
So, yes, those are the eligibility terms for this episode. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There were also a few verse episodes, one in particular that Sam was featured on.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah, does that count?
That does count.
Okay. That is in the title.
Both the titles were in that episode, yes.
That's kind of what I went by. If it's in the title of the file, that's kind of what I went by.
Yes, so Pixar, Renaissance, ending, openings. Anything mentioned in those episodes will not make the cut. How are you guys feeling going into this gauntlet?
Interesting.
Feeling scared.
Yeah.
Always.
A little conceited. I like halfway through my list, I was like, oh, these are just the movies I brought in.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of like bias because I'm like, well, I brought these movies in. Of course, I think they're fucking great.
So a couple of them, I like really made a genuine effort to not bring in my movies.
I just brought some in to just really fuck with you guys too. I was like, I'm in a mad dash.
Whoa,
for this
no
one.
Way.
My point. Yes. That I think the interesting wrinkle for this not being just a regular brawl between the four of us is that Sam will be the ringer in a lot of those choices. And I'm very interested to see what he brings in.
Instead of just calling him on speakerphone this time around.
He's in the room.
Sam's just so messy. Sam's so messy.
That's why they love him.
I just like throw that little extra spark in there just to watch you guys implode.
Spark is a nice word for it.
Let's run down a little bit of the history that went on while the show was airing. Yes.
Ooh, love it.
We started in August 2020 and we will be ending in April of 2024.
Crazy.
Cost of movie tickets went up from $9.18 to $10.78. Still have never paid that since 2012, but okay. Highest grossing movies of every year consecutively were Demon Slayer, Mugen Train.
Let's go.
Spider-Man, No Way Home, Avatar, The Way of Water, and most recently, Barbie. The best picture winners of the year were Nomadland, Coda, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Oppenheimer. Throughout those 4 years, Taylor Swift and Adele alternated the best-selling albums of the year with Folklore, 30, Midnight, and the re-release of 1989, Taylor's Version.
That's actually kind of nuts.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Taylor.
Really? It's a lot of Taylor. Yeah. But we also had Beyonce, Harry Styles, Her, Dua Lipa, Doja Cat, and Billie Eilish, who dominated the conversation in music. Letterboxd grew tremendously in popularity, went from kind of a niche app and logging system to now it's something that gets asked on the red carpet immediately. Very popular in social media now and on the app itself. Shameless plug. You can find us all on that app. Josh Vetter, Lacey ABV, Mella _ Bella, Samuel K. Erdahl, and the Simba Tattoo. Find us all on there. In TV, Succession, Barry, Insecure, and Riverdale all ended their runs.
Sorry. One of these things is not like the other, bitch.
Don't laugh at Riverdale. It was a very entertaining show. I just want to put that out there.
A cultural moment.
Very much. While The Bear, Abbott Elementary, Beef, Yellowjackets, House of the Dragon, The Curse, and Loki all either premiered or gained popularity. And then our movie stars, Denzel Washington, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, all continued to prove their longevity. And we found a new generation of movie stars with Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet, Margot Robbie, Austin Butler, and Emma Stone.
The cast of Dune 2.
Seriously.
The cast of Dune 2 and Barbie.
Wow.
On this gauntlet, we have 142 movies that are eligible.
Nuts.
Out of the 180 episodes that we have done.
Look at us.
This will start with one large speed draft. I will go over the categories in one moment. The remaining time spent on the clock will be either defending the choices that you made during your draft or trying your best to change another choice on the list. There will be 45 minutes on the clock. This is the last gauntlet, and there are a lot of movies to cover, so give it your all. All five of us will each have one veto. And the veto you use must be co-signed by another co-host on the mic.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
You'll be okay.
No, I won't.
Okay. Now, if I veto something and it's not co-signed, do I have the opportunity of using that veto again to be co-signed, or is it gone if it's not co-signed?
You know what? You can use it again.
Okay, so you can use it until it's co-signed.
Correct. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything I need to make a little clearer?
There is no tie because Sam is here, correct?
There will be no ties, yes.
And we can pass.
You can pass if you'd right? like, yes. Okay.
Amazing. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. Okay. Randomize the order for the draft, and then we will reorder it going into the gauntlet. The order for the speed draft is as follows. Mella, myself, Lacey, Sam, Josh.
Woo!
Gotcha.
The categories for the final movie gauntlet are as follows. Director, drama, comedy, action, horror, thriller, romance, franchise entry, animation, wild card, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, screenplay, and below the line.
When did romance get added?
Yeah, romance was added, wasn't it?
That's a new one just now.
What the fuck, Rashawn?
I did this for her, and she's the loudest one yelling at me.
For me?
Yes.
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Okay, well, going hard for it then.
There you go.
Damn.
Answer some questions. Sheesh.
And are we still doing, once the gauntlet starts, are we still doing, if it's removed from the movie section, it is now re-eligible for the individual merit section?
No.
No.
So a movie can only be mentioned once.
Correct.
But if
142 movies, y'all.
But if Elf if Elf gets removed from comedy, then Will Ferrell isn't eligible for actor anymore.
Correct.
Damn, that sucks for me.
I like it.
That's normally how we play, no?
No.
No. It's usually if they get removed from the movie, they are now eligible for the individual category, or vice versa.
Oh, well, good thing I was thinking the other way, because
a movie is eligible for one spot on the list, period.
Removed, it's gone?
If it's gone, it's gone.
We're still sticking with that, with these vetoes now?
Yes, we are.
Oh my god.
I like it.
I bet you do.
Come on, y'all. We got to go out with the bang.
I'm starting, right? And I'm starting real funny.
No, don't do it.
I was still fiddling with my camera when you said
fiddling with your what?
My camera when you said the order. Sorry.
You're after me.
We are on order a time limit, you guys.
Hasn't started yet. Mella, myself,
talking about Sam's computer.
Lacey, Sam, and Josh.
The actual clock.
Oh my god.
Wait, why can't you plug it in? It doesn't have a charger.
It's the same plug-in.
We'll talk about it later. Okay.
Okay.
No
okay.
Tie.
Got it.
Are we ready?
No!
Yeah.
That's what I would expect.
So when do we do this?
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want.
It all depends. When do you want to die?
The draft starts right now.
I'm going to go for Below the Line, Kevin Yeager Productions for the Bride of Chucky special effects technician.
Okay. What the fuck? Definitely not what I thought was going to happen.
Director Steve McQueen, Widows.
You son of a bitch.
What the fuck is happening? Oh, Lord. Romance Moulin Rouge.
That's great.
Okay. Shut the fuck up.
All right. It is great.
It is. It's nice.
I'm going to pick franchise entry, and I'm submitting Twilight. Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay. Animation. Over the Garden Wall.
Yeah!
Mm.
All right.
Snake. Oh. Are we doing Snake? Is it back
yes.
to me?
Yes, go.
Great. Thriller. Unstoppable.
I'm gonna go.
No, hold on there, sister.
Sorry, sister.
Sister.
Sister. Sister. Put the ER back.
I am doing. I'm doing actress. I'm submitting Betty Davis for All About Eve.
Hold on. I miss me.
Yeah.
Screenplay: The Princess Bride by William Goldman.
Supporting actress.
No.
No.
Irma P. Hall Soul Food.
Mm. Ooh. I'm gonna go with drama Phantom Thread.
Yes! go best friend. That's my best friend. Damn it, what's left? Comedy, action, horror.
Come on.
I know. Wild card.
Say it, Sean. Say it, Sean.
No, I'm gonna let you say it. Action, Death Proof.
No.
Nice.
What? Action.
I mean,
action.
The third act would say yes.
We'll debate it later. We'll debate it later.
Said. Is it my turn? It's my turn. What's left? Well, actor, supporting actor, horror, comedy. Comedy, Adam's Family Values, bitch.
Lacey, you're setting yourself for pain.
Yeah, God, and?
Okay.
Supporting actor, Sir Ian McKellen for Lord of the Rings.
Interesting. Me?
Yes.
Actor, Sir Brad Pitt for Moneyball. Fuck you. wild card.
Bad times at the El Royale.
There he is.
There you go.
What haven't we done yet?
It's just horror.
Yeah.
Oh, it is horror. I'm doing Halloween.
Okay.
Oh.
Stop the clock.
I think this looks fine.
I honestly don't. We can end the gauntlet right here.
I'm kind of okay with these.
Yeah. There's like so many qualms. It's crazy.
Running down what we have for the draft list. Director, Steve McQueen, Widows. Drama, Phantom Thread. Comedy, Adam's Family Values. Action, Death Proof. Horror, we have Halloween. Thriller, Unstoppable. Romance, Moulin Rouge. Franchise entry, Twilight. Animation, Over the Garden Wall. Wild card, Bad Times at the El Royale. Our actors, Brad Pitt in Moneyball. Actress is Betty Davis in All About Eve. Supporting actor, Ian McKellen in Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Supporting actress is Irma P. Hall in Soul Food. Our screenplay is The Princess Bride by William Goldwyn.
Man.
Goldman. Win?
Goldman.
Man. The Princess Bride, written by Inconceivable. Okay. The Princess Bride, written by William Goldman, and our below the line is The Bride of Chucky, special effects by Kevin Yeager Productions. 41 minutes and 34 seconds on the clock. Our new order going into this gauntlet is myself, Mella, Sam, Lacey, and Josh.
Of course it is.
Great.
This is not a snake order, so we will go to the bottom and then back to the top.
Got it. Where am I last both times?
I don't know. Ask randomizer.
Randomization, man.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
I guess.
Clock starts now. I am so sorry. I would like to bring Lacey to the gauntlet.
I knew it! What do you want?
I would like to bring you to the gauntlet for screenplay.
Damn.
Of course you do. Can it not be on any list for this podcast? You can't let Princess Bride be on any list?
It's on the show list.
If there's anything where Sean is, it's consistent. Let me tell you.
My choice is Jessica Bendinger for Bring It On.
No.
Oh. You're bringing the... Okay. That's a choice.
William Goldman for The Princess Bride versus Jessica Bendinger for Bring It On.
I know what you're thinking. Princess Bride, it's one of the best books, it's one of the best adaptations ever made, and I agree, but I also think cultural relevance, quotability, and and hear me out.
Don't bring
I know we could go toe to toe for Bring It On and The Princess Bride, but I think there are things that have stuck in the lexicon that Bring It On has brought to the conversation. There's also an entire genre, subgenre of very winking and meta teen comedies that I think Bring It On jump started. And a lot of that has to do with the characterization and the dialogue between the Clovers and the Toros and what all of the cheerleaders bring to the table. I think a lot of that starts with the script. Yes, Peyton Reed is a fantastic director, but I think the blueprint starts with the script. Not a lot of that was improvised. That's all in the DNA of the writing. And I think that movie, yes, it's a fun teen, slightly raunchy comedy, but it doesn't get a lot of credit for being a fantastically written screenplay. It's a classic sports story with a lot of vigor and a lot of female empowerment, and I love it.
I'm gonna take your words, which you tried to use as like a negative of like in your tone of, yes, it's one of the best written stories of all time. Yes, it's a one of the best.
I did not say it like that. I did not.
Yes,
say it like that.
Yes, you did, Rashawn.
No, I didn't. Yes, I said, and I agree.
You said that at the end, but you said it like, yes, it's this. Yes, it's this.
Because you guys were like, how could you bring It On against Princess Bride? So I was defending
literally
it.
Literally, no one said that. No one said that.
Oh, literally, I saw no three tones. That. Oh, that's your choice. That's your choice.
There was a tone.
We are on a timer.
I don't care. I'm going to defend myself. You're not going to say that shit about me.
And you're not going to say that shit about Princess Bride. Princess Bride.
I said nothing negative about that. Go.
And I'm not going to say anything negative about Bring It On. I think all of your points are accurate, and I agree with them. However, the same things you were using as an argument for Bring It On can be used for The Princess Bride. Cultural relevance, quotability, standing the test of time. I mean, The Princess Bride is back from, I don't remember what year it was written. But you turn it on for kids today and they're still enraptured. It's a fantasy, it's a comedy, it's a romance, it is an epic adventure, it has some of the most insane action, and that is, just like you said, it's written in the script. Those things are written by not just a screenwriter, William Goldman, but the author William Goldman. We have a book to movie adaptation written by the writer of the original source material, which is not normal. I don't want to be here. That's my argument.
I don't that's, like the gauntlet.
That's my argument. I think The Princess Bride is where Bring It On is for, I think, a specific audience. The Princess Bride is for a wide array of audiences. And that is why I think it deserves to be on the list. That's why I think it deserves screenplay. It is written for generations.
Let's do it.
I think Bring It On is universal. I will say that. I don't think it's a specific audience.
Your grandma is not going to watch Bring It On.
In fact, I watched it with my grandma and my mother.
don't say his, say my.
Josh's
say
grandma, my grandma is not going to watch Bring It On.
That's better.
Well, she should. I'll watch it with her.
Shit.
National Platters, hello. Still saying it today.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Can we vote?
I vote for The Princess Bride, obviously.
I sent my vote through chat.
But what? Say it.
Why did you say it through chat?
I thought you were gonna like do a raising a hand situation. I was like, you can't see me. I vote for Lacey.
Yeah, Princess Bride.
Bring It On all day, every day. Sorry.
Finish him.
I would like to bring Josh in.
Whoa, really?
Come on. For Brad Pitt, I'm going to bring in Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born.
Brad Pitt in Moneyball versus Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born.
Two hunks, dude.
Two fucking hunks. Would love to Eiffel Tower, but that's not what we're doing here today.
I vote for Eiffel Tower.
It's not what we're talking about.
I think Bradley Cooper is, you know, always good, but I think in this specific film, in A Star Is Born, obviously he's directing, he's singing, he's kind of doing the trifecta in this, but I think even as, you know, character work and everything that he put into acting, as far as like completely changing his voice to sound like Sam Elliott, that's not something you do lightly, especially going as low as he did with his voice. Like I said, singing, I think he is incredible going from, you know, an alcoholic who is maneuvering around this like musical journey into, I mean, sadly, death. And I think he brings something new to the character that we have not seen in the other Star Is Born. I think he's great.
If the bar is just talking like Sam Elliott, I'll do it right now to get your vote.
Keep going. That was off.
Oh, keep going in the same Elliott?
No, like...
I think Billy Bean is maybe Brad Pitt's second best performance he's ever done. I think there is a nuance to his performance that he is easily missed, but he carries comedy, he carries anger, he carries a deep, really viscerally sad heartbreak over the potential loss of his daughter throughout this, all under the guise of a baseball movie. And I know it's easy to just look at it like that, but I think Brad Pitt really is transformative in this. It's hard for him because he is Brad Pitt and he looks like Brad Pitt. But I think this is his most comfortable, saddened role. I think he should have won the Oscar for this. That's my vote for Brad Pitt.
We're voting.
Are we voting?
We were quick.
Yeah.
I vote for Bradley Cooper.
I also vote for Bradley Cooper.
No way.
Doesn't matter what I say.
Say vote for real. I need to know.
Vote with your chest, bitch.
I would have voted for Brad Pitt.
Bradley Cooper.
The other Brad.
Oh.
Sorry, I gave you a real quick cross shot. My computer is actively shutting down because the charger fell out.
Oh, no.
Nobody was complaining.
Yeah, right? No apology required.
Finish him!
Okay, I would like... I think this was you, Rashawn... For action, I'm going to pull you... You chose Death Proof, right?
I did choose Death Proof.
I'm going to pull you in because I am going to offer the other option of The Dark Knight.
Don't do that. Why are you doing that?
Supposed to be for something else.
Death Proof versus The Dark Knight.
So I am picking The Dark Knight because I think this is one of the movies, maybe not the definitive superhero film that started this entire subgenre of movie, but I think The Dark Knight is what catapulted into the stratosphere that it became. And it is the movie that caused the Academy Awards to expand their Best Picture field because it was not included, and literally everybody thought it should be in the Best Picture lineup, among other categories as well. I think The Dark Knight has some of the best acting performances of any action movie, and also just some of the best action sequences, period. And that's why it should reign supreme.
I think we take out the Academy, because that has nothing to do with the action movie. We're in the action category. We take out the Joker. We take out the Tarantino dialogue because those have nothing to do with it. I think beat for beat, The Dark Knight has some of the best action sequences on film. I also think Death Proof features one of the most fantastic car chases in cinema history, with Zoe Bell literally hooked to the roof of a car with no wires, no safety net, and it's a 20-minute car chase with Kurt Russell just zooming down a road and Zoe Bell hanging on for dear life. Tracy Thoms is driving the car. She's acting for her life because her friend is on the hood of a car, possibly dying from the serial killer that's chasing them. It's earned. It takes about an hour and 15 minutes to get to this scene, and I get it. Maybe it's not as frequent action as The Dark Knight, but I think going pound for pound with these two scenes, Death Proof proves why it should be put in an action category and why it succeeds over The Dark Knight.
Votes?
Yeah.
So my vote, sorry, Sam, my vote is for Death Proof, but it's for a very specific reason.
Because you want to bring The Dark Knight in a different category?
I want to bring The Dark Knight in a different category.
It's gone after we eliminate it.
Exactly. If you want to get like a chance for it to be on the board, period, vote for it here. You may not get it somewhere else.
If it doesn't successfully breach the gauntlet, it's still up for something else, right, Rashawn?
We did say veto is gone forever. That's true.
This isn't a veto, though. This is just an unsuccessful vote.
If it loses.
Oh, if it loses, like if it loses this, too?
Yeah,
Sam, you fucking suck, dude. Then I vote for Dark Knight.
Bitch!
That's... Whatever. That's fine.
I vote for Dark Knight.
I vote for Death Proof.
On a technicality.
Death Proof was on my list, bitch.
Finish him!
Not ever. Lisa, you're up.
I would like to bring...
Oh, which one am I gonna do? I would like to bring...
Mella, come back in here with Bradley.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And I would like to challenge Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born with Eddie Murphy's The Nutty Professor. God damn it, Lacey!
I am... officially perturbed.
Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born versus Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. Eddie Murphy. What's that?
Go.
What's that? What is wrong?
Go, Lacey.
Eddie Murphy as The Nutty Professor, as the entire family of the Klumps, is a cinema iconic, history in the making. It is one of the most quotable movies and performances ever. It is one of the most referenced scenes and families and moments in comedy. Eddie Murphy is transformative, not just in performance, but in appearance. He plays, what, eight different roles in this movie, and every single one of them is distinct. Every single one of them is has the Eddie Murphy touch and flair. It's mind-bogglingly impressive, and I think he deserves to be our actor on our list.
That's a good pitch. Mel, you got anything to add from your last pitch?
Nope.
Damn, that was a good pitch.
I vote Bradley Cooper.
I vote Bradley Cooper.
Well, then it doesn't matter. So, Eddie Murphy, why not? That was a good pitch.
I'm fucking shocked. I'm honestly shocked. I did not think I was going to keep that shit.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on here. Collusion, I don't like this.
What do you mean collusion?
This is a plot. I don't like
this. It's not. I genuinely, like, he's number one on my actor list is Eddie Murphy for The Nutty Professor. Like, genuinely.
Oh, you were doodling, bitch.
I have to stay focused. My hands have to go.
All right. Well, it's a valiant effort. You get my sympathy vote for such a good pitch. So that was a really good pitch.
Thank you. But Rashawn is shaming me on the mic for making
shame
a choice.
Rashawn just doesn't respect comedies. What do you got to, you know, what are you going to do?
I will flip this table.
Finish her. I want to save some time, so I'm going to use my veto. Lacey, will you veto supporting actress with me?
I was going to challenge it. I don't need that.
You can challenge mine later. Irma P. Hall, Soul Food. Veto it with me.
No.
It's okay. It's okay. We're playing a game. It's fine. It's okay.
No.
I mean, can anybody veto, or do you have to ask?
Co-sign it with me?
I'll co-sign.
Fantastic.
I co-sign.
Irma. Andy McDowell from Groundhog Day.
That'll work.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Not even a good fucking choice. Are you kidding me?
Bring in the Groundhog Day.
All right, Rashawn, you're up.
What the fuck? I don't like the way this is. Who brought franchise entry?
That was Sam. Me. You want to fight? I have prepared for this battle since 2008.
Please, Rashawn, bring in what I think you're gonna bring in. Please.
Scream 6.
Nah, it's not what I thought you were going to bring in.
6 is a good one.
6? You're bringing in 6? Not 1?
I'm bringing in 6.
Oh my god. I can't help you. I can't help you unless you help yourself.
I help myself just fine, okay?
Twilight versus Scream 6.
I get it. Twilight. Everyone loves fucking Twilight. I'm going to have a mental breakdown during this pitch. But if we're comparing, we can't do that. That's not, you brought Twilight. You brought the original. And yes, as a franchise entry, it is a great entry point into this franchise. But I think 6 movies in, the Radio Silence team does something that reinvigorates and brings fresh ideas to a franchise that honestly I think was doing pretty fine. It wasn't on its last legs. It was still financially successful. Ghostface is still relevant, but a different setting and a fresh cast, even without the main star of the movie, it became the highest grossing movie in the entire series. There are set pieces here that do things with Ghostface, like give him a fucking shotgun, put him on a metro train. There are just things here that you wouldn't think to do with an icon that's 25 years into its series. And I think for that, it's a better franchise entry than Twilight, which doesn't get good until like maybe part 3. Eclipse is great, you know. Twilight itself has got some issues.
Okay.
Let's hear it, Rockstar.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to talk shit about Scream 6 because I do think it is a really, really good movie and an excellent one to bring in for a franchise entry. However, Twilight does something that I think very, very few franchises are really ever able to achieve. And that is maintain almost a status of immortality. As bad as the Twilight movies are, and I think we can all probably collectively agree, this is not great cinema. So many people know what it is, have watched it, and have opinions on it. The battle between either Edward or Jacob is something everybody on this podcast has discussed. And not just because the movie was brought to the podcast. This was a topic of conversation just in everybody's everyday life. And to have that happen from a young adult novel that is just goofy, I think it says a lot to the quality of this franchise entry. Not to mention where it spiraled from there, producing some of the highest grossing movies of all time, and giving us some legitimately great performers from these movies. Here we get Anna Kendrick. Here we get Robert Pattinson in very early roles. And to see where their careers have blossomed from just because of those movies, I think speaks to the quality of their performances.
Let's not say that the Twilight movie was the only reason those megastars became megastars. They're also talented. We never know what something could have happened.
Of course, but you give them a platform where they're seen by billions of people, it's going to give them extra credibility.
Jenna Ortega, Mason Gooding, Jasmine Savoy Brown.
I'm ready to vote. I only liked one of these movies, so Scream 6.
Sorry, Rashani. It's Twilight.
No fucking way.
I know.
I vote for Scream 6.
Oh!
Oh.
Shut down.
That was a good pitch, Sam Erdo.
Thanks. I'm glad you and I are right there.
He had that locked and loaded.
You had it. Yeah, kind of ate that. I was like, damn, do I need to rewatch this shit?
Like you need someone to talk you into rewatching it.
Right.
I just did, and I can tell you I would be more likely at this point to rewatch the new Scream franchise than I would be to turn Twilight on. So,
yeah, I saw it back in November, and I'm like, oh, it's fun.
Finish him!
Mella.
Yes.
Fuck it. Let's do who's up in there? Oh, Lacey, bring that ass.
Leave me alone.
While I am a fan of Adam Family Values, I don't know why it just like doesn't sit right with me, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring in Not Another Teen Movie for this category.
Fuck.
Yes.
No.
Adam's Family Values versus
Not Another Teen Movie. Not Another Teen Movie. I brought it to the pod. I'm going to bring it here today. It is like the re-release on the movie spoof. We had it in the 80s with Airplane and A Mad, Mad, Mad World and all of those. And it went swimmingly. And then we get to the 2000s and we have a new release of all of these like 90s rom-coms and comedies and, you know, high school jock movies. And you put it all into one movie and you get Not Another Teen Movie. Let's go. It's chock full of jokes. It's chock full of titties and poop and making out and
Jesus Christ.
Know your audience. Hey.
Sam loves that. And
which one?
Titties. And so that's why we're friends. And so I feel like this is a culmination of comedy in one movie. And that's my pitch. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
Raul Julia, Angelica Houston, Christopher Lloyd, Joan Cusack, Christina Ricci. Not only are they playing the quintessential strange, weird, spooky family, but these are comedy icons in their own right. To be as specific as each of their characters are while still being so believable in a movie that has to match and top its predecessor as a sequel, universally agreed that this movie is better than the first one. People love Adam's Family Values. They love Debbie. They love the relationship between Debbie and Fester. This movie takes the Adams family and turns it up a notch while still remaining true to the source material. It is funny. It is just disturbing. It has all of the elements that make the Adams family what they are. It is iconic. Da 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 da. It's great. That's my argument.
Y'all, I don't want to vote for either of these. Too
bad.
You can veto.
What the fuck?
veto.
Yeah, I already did, and it's not my turn.
No, you already did.
Only one of these reviews didn't mention poop, so Adam's Family Values.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Adam's Family Values, too.
I'm also going to go Adam's Family Values.
Oh, okay, so everyone sucks.
So everyone's taste is shit. Got it.
Got it.
Finish her!
Alright. Sam.
Okay, it is me. Okay, I am going to... Lacey, I'm going to pull you in again for comedy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I challenge your Adam's Family value with a one.
Singular.
Happy Gilmore.
My boy!
We can make this quick.
Adam's Family Values versus Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. I have a soft spot for Happy Gilmore. This is the movie that I would watch with my family, specifically my cousins, when I was visiting my grandma, as they would spend their entire week once every summer at our grandma's house. And we would always watch Happy Gilmore the very first night. I think Adam Sandler is hilarious in this movie. And I also think that... how do I say this?
You better hurry up.
I think it has a very sweet ending. I think it all kind of culminates to the very end. I think it's a really well-told story. And I think we get some of Adam Sandler's best comedy in this.
I think we do too, Sam.
Oh, thanks.
Rishon, can you just take what I said about Adam's Family the first time and like clip that and then just put it here?
I mean, it was, yeah.
Yep. 13 minutes on the clock.
Okay, well, fucking Gilmore, duh.
Adam's Family Values.
Mel?
Adam's Family.
You guys are fucking... Limited.
Only one of those movies has Joan Cusack. Sorry.
Oh, is that the marker? Bet. All right, let's get to me. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Don't do that, Teal.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Finish him.
Bella, come back in here.
Hey,
I want to bring your below the line in, and I would like to challenge you for the Babylon soundtrack.
No! Okay.
Lacey, you she-devil.
That's fine.
You're making me choose!
Kevin Yeager Productions for The Bride of Chucky versus Justin Hurwitz for Babylon.
I was going to bring Damien Chazelle, but I cannot fight Steve McQueen. Widows was one of my favorite things that we watched on the podcast. The Babylon, we all know, is like this epic mount of Hollywood cinema, but it is carried through this bombastic, thrilling, exciting music. And I mean, Voodoo Mama has made an appearance on this podcast at least a dozen times since we all watched Babylon. Sean!
One more time.
I think the soundtrack of this movie perfectly encapsulates what the movie is, what the movie's about. It is whimsical, it's devastating, it's exciting, it's perfect. It is a perfect movie soundtrack. So.
The Bride of Chucky! say what you will about the film. We've all heard it. We have a whole episode on it. But the one thing that we could all agree on is how great the puppeteering, the special effects, how well these little motherfucking dolls look like humans. Their mouths move exactly like humans do. They're holding those little fucking knives. They got the pickle tongue. Like, everything is
the pickle tongue.
Amazing puppeteering. Whether you like the movie or not, you cannot deny that. You cannot deny how well Tiffany and Chucky are done, especially for the fact that the original is 10 years prior to this one, and it still looks good and even better than the original 1988 film. That is my pick. That is my pitch.
I had one choice for Below the Line, and it was Voodoo Mama by Justin Hurwitz. So my vote goes to Lacey.
Bride of Chucky.
Oh!
I'm going to have to go with Bride of Chucky, too.
Let's fucking go!
Even when I win, I lose!
What the fuck?
What?
So good, though.
I really didn't expect that.
Ed Ingersham, play Voodoo Mama in a minor key.
I'm going to play it for the rest of the episode.
Oh my God. Won't even hear it.
Forget the clock ticking.
I am shocked.
I am honestly shocked.
I am shocked. That
I chose. I know. What? All
right, who's next?
I'm just shocked that, all right, Babylon's just off the list.
I didn't want Bride of Chucky to just be.
Finish her.
Lacey, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, I cannot rest. What do you want?
A comedy. So we have your pitch.
Yeah.
Rashawn says he wants a Joan Cusack picture. Yeah. I'll give him a Joan Cusack picture.
Oh my God.
School of Rock!
Let's go. Real fast and loose with Joan Cusack picture. Okay.
Adam's Family Values versus School of Rock. School of Rock, just it's one of the most fun movies I've ever seen. Jack Black at the height of his powers. It was written exclusively for Jack Black. It wouldn't have been made without him. Joan Cusack perfectly playing the straight man in this. All of the kids, the comedy is on point. The music is un-fucking believable. I don't care. You know what? I changed my mind. Below the Line, School of Rock soundtrack. I'm just kidding. Sorry, I'm really jarred that Voodoo Mama missed. Anyway, I mean, my love for Jack Black, my love for School of Rock is pretty well documented. I think the heart of this movie is what sets it apart from every other classic fun goof around. I think there is such a tenderness and such a care for all of these kids, for Jack Black's character in this, that it turns it from a really good comedy to a classic comedy. And that is why my vote is for School of Rock.
Good pitch, bitch.
Debbie.
That's a great pitch. Pastels in spring.
Get out!
But officer, my husband was in that house.
Stop.
Give me a kiss. Give me a 20. Adam's Family Values, sorry.
Adam's Family Values. But that was a good pitch.
Thanks.
That was a great pitch, but you had me pick between two Cusack performances and Debbie's.
Sam, what's your vote? Just
for what it's worth, I would have gone with School of Rock.
I know you would have. Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
Finish him.
Adam's Family Values was what, 4-0 now? Prime Tyson. Family Values is right now. This is crazy.
Rashawn, how much time do you have?
7 minutes. Sam, come here.
Oh, what do you want?
I would like to take actress to the gauntlet, and my choice is Be With Me, Black Jesus. Alicia Silverstone and Clueless.
Whoa!
All right, give it to me.
Betty Davis in All About Eve versus Alicia Silverstone in Clueless.
There is a lot of vitriol that you could throw towards teen comedies. And a lot of that maybe sometimes comes down to the acting. But what Alicia Silverstone does with the creation of Cher is give us not only a fantastic, in my opinion, Oscar-worthy performance, but the blueprint for Mean Girls, for Bring It On, for 10 Things I Hate About You. She is carving out a fantastically, seemingly vapid, but also charmingly and wisely deep character. Yes, it's an adaptation of a novel, but it's also something that singularly only Alicia Silverstone could do. So much so that they did a TV show and it just didn't work as well. Because there's a uniqueness to what she's bringing. It's hard to play aloof and charming. It's hard to play kind of dumb, but also brilliantly smart. And she handles all of that. The movie is on her shoulders the entire time, with narration, with fashion, with comedy, and both heart. And she gets the guy at the end, and she looks fantastic doing it. And tell me that nobody is still saying "as if" almost 30 years later. That's Alicia Silverstone. I don't care what she's done before and after. It's Cher now.
Let's hustle up. We got 4 minutes.
That's very true. Okay.
We have five minutes. Don't go by Josh's clock.
I hustle up. I'm last. I want to go up again.
So Bette Davis is, you know, she's gone down in history as one of the greatest actresses to ever do it. And All About Eve, I think, is her seminal performance. It is, I mean, if you think of Bette Davis in your head, you're imagining Margot Channing. The two go hand in hand. I think it's the perfect marriage between character and actress. Nobody else could do this role. And I think what's great about this performance as well is you get the hothead Bette Davis kind of side of it as this actress fighting for her place in the industry, but you also get the softer side of her, what it means to be a woman in the workplace, and a woman specifically in the acting workplace, and how quickly they get discarded and what she has to do to hold on to that until she finally just realizes at the very end, I can actually do whatever I want. And you see the complete change from beginning to end in her. And I think it speaks to a lot of what people experience in the industry and what she was certainly going through at her age at this performance.
That was a really good pitch, Sam, but I vote for Alicia Silverstone in Clueless.
That's fair.
No?
I vote for Cher.
I vote for Silverstone.
Sam, wow. Only because I have not seen it, so it would not be fair, but that was an amazing pitch.
Well, you know what? That's okay.
She might have voted.
I might have voted.
Finish him!
All right, next.
Bring
out. I'm bringing in Josh for supporting actress, and I am bringing in Octavia Spencer for The Help. First of all, we need a black woman on this list. Start with that, and two, she better win over the motherfucking Groundhog Day.
It's Andy McDowell.
Right.
Andy McDowell in Groundhog Day versus Octavia Spencer in The Help.
So Octavia Spencer, again, I want to start off with, say what you will about The Help. I love that movie. I know everyone doesn't. But Octavia Spencer fucking owns that movie. If it's one thing you know about that movie, you know about the pie scene. That is something that is, not only is she bringing the comedy to this really heavy topic about race relations in the South, she adds the comedy and the heart to this film. And it's so effortless. It's so easy. You know, Octavia Spencer had been working years before The Help has even, you know, had set the stage. And then The Help comes out and everyone's like, who is this? And you're like, bitch, that's Octavia Spencer. She's been in so many things. And I feel like this is what is the catalyst and the catapult to her career.
Okay, easy. So, Andy McDowell, go back to our Groundhog Day episode. If there's one thing we all agreed on, is that she is fucking fantastic in Groundhog Day. She's cute. She's believable. She's likable. But more importantly, she sold falling in love with and sleeping with Bill Murray. All right.
No, hear him out. Hear him out.
You guys can't. You guys can't look into your webcam and tell me that's not good acting, bitch. All right, my vote is for Andy McDowell.
Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Octavia Spencer too.
Octavia Spencer.
I tried. Sweet, sweet Andy.
Finish him.
Sam, where's your percentage?
We're sitting strong at 30%.
Okay.
Okay. It's our last gauntlet. 15 minutes on the clock. We're adding some time. Oh, who's next? Who's next?
It's me, right?
Yes. Yep.
I think it's me. Rashawn, get the fuck back in the gauntlet for best actress.
What?
I refuse to have Cher be the person who's reigning supreme here. I'm bringing in Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine.
Oh, bitch.
Alicia Silverstone in Clueless versus Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine. This is probably one of the most dramatic performances ever, so I really want to contrast who you chose for Clueless here. What Michelle Williams does in this movie is, first of all, incredible, just to show the range between her, the youth of the character, to where she goes to at the very end of the film, and all of the trauma she experiences at the hands of a man she thought would love her forever. I think the scene that really clinches this would be the scene where he storms into her place of work when she's on the job and is demanding she give him attention. And she, it's just so sad seeing their relationship crumble. And she has to stay so strong because they're trying to hold their family together. I just think it's a beautiful performance. And she does so great with it.
I stand by the argument I had before, but I do want to push back on the fact, on the notion that drama is harder than comedy. It's the reverse. And I think...
Why don't you tell that to Eddie Murphy?
Whatever. And I think carrying a movie on your shoulders through a comedy and crafting a character is just as impressive as a very amazing, demanding, dramatic performance. Yes, Michelle Williams is doing more, and it's showier, I think. She's jumping through timelines, she's going through a divorce, she's, you know, having a pregnancy scare.
Not the multiverse.
Like, it's... She's WandaVision, bitch. She's going through the multiverse. But I also think it takes incredible skill to be in the moment, in the present day, and craft a character like Cher. I think everyone knows the name Cher Horowitz, and I don't know if everybody knows Cindy, which is fine. But
Cindy.
I love them both. But I had to push back on the drama versus comedy. I think Alicia Silverstone is amazing.
As my rebuttal, I did not say in my speech that drama is superior to comedy. I just said it's a fun contrast to put a heavily dramatic performance by Michelle Williams against such a wonderfully comedic performance like Alicia Silverstone.
You didn't say wonderfully comedic in your original argument, Sam.
It was implied. I just wanted to set the record straight.
Suddenly there's time on the clock and now we got rebuttals all over the place, bitch.
I'll take the 10 minutes back.
I want to set the record straight. I in no way was implying that drama is superior to comedy. I just think it's a fun battle between these two.
All right, I got my vote. Only one of these bummed me out and it wasn't Clueless, so... My vote goes to Clueless.
Oh. You got me the first half. I was scared.
My vote goes to Clueless.
Oh. Damn.
I think my vote goes to Clueless, Joe.
Fuck.
Oh my god.
Finish him.
Who's next?
It's me, and I'm really struggling.
You can pass if you want to.
I don't. Well.
Or hit a fat veto.
Yeah, you still have pass and veto.
I forgot about the veto.
Come on.
Josh.
What? No. Slow down. What?
No, I pass my turn.
You pass?
Okay. I pass.
Do I want to piss off Rashawn or Sam?
10 minutes.
I mean, you might as well pull me into the ring. All of my options have already been, like, taken away. So oh. Give it to me. Let's go.
All right, Sam. Come on in.
Give it to me. Which one?
Action.
Action.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of the Dark Knight, bitch.
Wow.
Wow.
With the greatest action movie of all time, Mission Impossible Fallout.
The Dark Knight versus Mission Impossible Fallout.
All right.
If we're looking at the parameters of what was discussed before with the action movie category, there is nothing better than Mission Impossible Fallout. It has helicopter chases. It has 10-minute long fight scenes. It has intrigue. It has spies. It has just a bunch of hot people doing some action, all right? Sorry, I'm feeling real New York right now.
Central Minnesota.
Look, Mission Impossible is the practical stunts, the choreography, the spectacle. It all amalgamates to this perfect, compact, long as shit, beautiful action starring Tom Cruise and Henry Cavill. What more could you want? Mission Impossible Fallout.
I mean, that's very true. That's very true. I don't know. My argument still stands. I mean, I saw The Dark Knight like 7 times in theaters, so I just think it's such a great movie. And it deserves to be here.
So does Fallout. Cast him.
I'm going for The Dark Knight.
I vote Mission Impossible.
Oh, no.
Let's hear
it's all
bitch.
Up to you.
I mean, this category can burn after y'all, what y'all did to Death Proof, honestly. But, I'm going with Fallout.
Let's.
We can't see you. Your camera's off.
I'm sorry, Sam.
Don't apologize.
I'm reloading my arms like Henry Cavill over and over and over. And
finish over. Him!
Can I take my turn back?
Sure.
No, I'll wait. It's fine. I'll wait.
This is all we got left. Leave it on the floor, Lace.
Mel, come in here with drama.
Okay.
Here we go.
Wait a minute. That's not what I meant.
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh.
Phantom Thread versus Shakespeare in Love.
Listen, I loved Phantom Thread. That was one of the best gifts I've ever gotten, especially on the podcast. But Shakespeare in Love, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare in Love. Shakespeare in Love takes a universally...
I don't think he's who you should pitch to, honestly. You got Sam.
No, I know. Shakespeare in Love takes a universally known story in Romeo and Juliet and retells it in the most... romantic, devastating, heart-wrenching way. We get the creation of Romeo and Juliet through the eyes of William Shakespeare in a destined-to-be-failed romance. They are not allowed to end up together, but we still hope, with all hopes through the end, that they will end up together. It is the ultimate tragedy. It is the ultimate romance, without it being Romeo and Juliet where they're 13.
Nice.
That's my pitch.
Yeah, I'm definitely for Shakespeare in Love.
Meldon pitch!
She doesn't need to.
Okay. Phantom Thread took me by surprise because it's not something I would normally pick up, and I ended up watching it like 2 or 3 times since then. I think every aspect of this movie is a masterpiece. It's picturesque. PTA does, you know, these things where he just puts a person in the middle of the shot and just lets the shot breathe and grow. And I think there's something to it when it comes to filmmaking that can allow a movie to do that and the audience just be in awe. I think the acting in this movie is top tier. Where there is not a lot of dialogue, there is still a lot of emotion even within the scene. Yeah, I think this is just like a lovely film.
I vote for Phantom Thread.
Oh, fuck. Fuck.
Do you, Josh?
So, oh no, I don't dislike Shakespeare in Love. I think that's, I need that to be clear because it went up against Saving Private Ryan in that episode. Oh, shit. I wasn't crazy about Phantom Thread until the ending, and the ending changed my mind. But if you said you can rewatch one thing today, right now, I would pick Shakespeare in Love. Because, you guys, only one of these movies has Ben Affleck in it. Goodbye. Do you understand?
Barely.
Barely is better than none, bitch.
We had it so nice.
Whose turn?
Yours.
That's Sam's only choice on the goddamn
screen. He has two.
No, do it. Do it.
Which one?
Halloween.
Oh, Halloween is it.
And Ian McKellen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was only looking at Ian McKellen. Okay. I would like to veto Ian McKellen. For James Marsden and Hairspray.
Oh, veto, bitch. Hi.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You did that on purpose.
I did.
All right, next up. No.
I didn't think we'd get this far. I just want to bring in... actress. I believe it's Sam?
Clue. Nope.
Okay.
Oh, it's Clue. It's okay.
Sure isn't.
Nope, Sam got eliminated.
I haven't gone up against Rashawn, so I am going to bring in Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby.
You not very nice person.
She was on my list too, Mel.
Alicia Silverstone in Clueless versus Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby.
If you don't know anything in Mia Farrow's filmography, you know Rosemary's Baby. That was one of the things that we kept coming back to time and time again in our episode, is how effervescent and charming and cute and perfect she was in this movie. I think in that movie specifically, you see this journey just through her, just this kind of like fish out of water, new to New York, new to marriage, new to being a homeowner. And what? She's fucking pregnant with the devil's spawn? Yes, bitch, she fucking is. I think she does so well where, you know, another actress would play this kind of like, you know, naivete, like very childish, and I think she does it in a way that she taps into the audience where you are a vessel to her. I think she's wonderful, and she makes me want to see anything else she's ever been in. Thank you.
As if
I vote Mia Farrow.
I knew it.
I vote Alicia.
Oh!
I vote Alicia.
Yes! She reigns.
Wow.
Thanks, Sam.
Finish her!
How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
Sam, go. I want to go.
I mean... Honestly, I don't know what else to throw in, so I will just pass it on to you.
No, it's my turn, and I bring Sam in really fast.
Oh, go ahead.
You got to go.
Okay, Josh, go. We switched spots. Go.
No, go.
Sam, bring Halloween in. I nominate Krampus.
Oh.
Halloween versus Krampus.
Krampus was a very surprising horror movie. I didn't think I would like it at all. I really enjoyed it. I think it's genuinely really scary while being a Christmas movie. It became an instant classic. I love it. Krampus.
Sam, hurry.
Listen, Halloween, either you're talking the old ones or the new ones, doesn't matter. It is iconic. It will continue to influence the horror genre until we die.
I vote Halloween.
Halloween.
I love this choice, Lacey, but Halloween.
I just had to try. Josh, go!
I bring in Lacey!
What?
Go!
I bring in drama.
Okay, go! Hurry!
Saving Private Ryan!
You stupid, stinky bitch. Shakespeare in Love versus Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan. Let's distill it here. Let's take that big
done this already,
stupid episode we did, and we're gonna distill it. Just drama. What is the better drama, right? And that is Saving Private Ryan. Shakespeare in Love has got romance. It's cheery. It's got comedy. Sure, but if we're talking drama. It is the apex of war drama right there. That is Spielberg at the height of his powers with one of our generation's best, Vin Diesel, with Tom Hanks.
You led with Vin Diesel?
Let's go. I want to go. Hurry up.
Okay. Saving Private Ryan.
I vote Shakespeare in Love.
I vote Phantom Thread.
It's too late. You did this.
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, God damn it. This is how the episode ended last time.
Cast your vote. Drama.
They're both hybrids. Yeah. Comedy drama, action drama.
Okay, then Phantom Thread.
What?
Lacey, you cannot undo your mistakes.
Could have had it.
Cast a vote.
Saving Private Ryan.
Well, it was Lacey? 3 for Shakespeare, wasn't it?
Well, Lacey, yeah. Well, it's 2 for...
Obviously, Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you'd have any regrets.
No!
Regrets.
I tried to get redemption for the episode in a map mode.
Finish him!
Who's next? Nella?
You! It's
yeah.
You,
Sean. Yeah. Me? Lacey, I love you, but... This is your choice as well, but I would like to bring Over the Garden Wall, and I just want to say
that is my choice.
That is Josh's choice.
Ooh.
Oh, no! Paranorman.
That's fine.
Paranorman.
Bring it in, baby.
Over the Garden Wall versus Paranorman.
That's the clock. Okay,
All right, this is the last one.
Paranorman is spooky, like Over the Garden Wall. Paranorman is beautifully animated, like Over the Garden Wall. But Paranorman has a central character that everyone can relate to. Everyone can relate to that feeling of being ostracized as a kid and being different and not knowing what to do with it. And I think that Paranorman also pulls from the horror movies of yesteryear to create something that young kids can relate to today. And it's better than Over the Garden Wall.
For my defense, I would like to tag in a ringer. Lacey, would you like to talk about the character relatability of Over the Garden Wall?
No, she cannot. No, she cannot.
Wirt is just Paranorman. Wirt is Norman. He is also dealing with rejection and fear and insecurity and feeling ostracized by his people. But
one is so much better.
Okay, which one has the phrase, we're here to burgle your turts? Your Honor, I rest my case.
Paranorman.
Yeah, I gotta go with Paranorman on this one.
Sam, that's because you haven't watched Over the Garden Wall, you stupid, silly son of a gun.
This is true, and that was good enough for Melon not to go with All About Eve, so there we go.
Damn, you're fine. Damn!
Yep.
Even when I lose, I win.
Finish her!
I'm sorry I had to do that, but you put Babylon up against Brad and Chucky.
I was gonna say, you must be happy with either of these.
You chose!
For her, in her defense, I was minutes away from putting Babylon up against Brad and Chucky.
So, there you go.
That contest was happening either way, bitch.
You're still on the... Paranorman's still on the board. It's your choice.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive you, too, for what you said about Over the Garden Wall.
I'll stand with you a lot, but I cannot stand with you on that one, girl. I love you. We did it.
Oh, my God. I am so sweaty.
Only four went untouched. That's got to be a record.
Which are?
Steve McQueen... Unstoppable, Moulin Rouge, and Bad Times at the El Royale.
Okay. Really standout performance by Adam's Family Values. My God.
Wow.
It beat Not Another Teen Movie, Happy Gilmore, and School of Rock.
Shall we hear our final gauntlet for When Cinephiles Attack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We got a winner. We got a winner.
This is the final WCA Movie Gauntlet champion list. In director, we have Steve McQueen for Widows. Our drama is Shakespeare in Love. Comedy, Adam's Family Values. Action, Mission Impossible Fallout. Horrors, Halloween. Thriller, Unstoppable. Romance, Moulin Rouge. Franchise entry, Scream 6. Animation, Paranorman. Wildcard, Bad Times at the El Royale. Actor, Bradley Cooper in A Star is Born. Actress, Alicia Silverstone in Clueless. Supporting actor, James Marsden in Hairspray. Supporting actress, Octavia Spencer in The Help. Screenplay, William Goldman, The Princess Bride. And our below the line is the Kevin Yeager Production Company for Bride of Chucky. That's the WCA list.
That's a pretty WCA list right there.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, us taking the tabs, which one of you brought in Clueless?
Oh, yeah, I did. It was a listener's choice, but I brought it.
Okay. Rashawn, in terms of movies brought in, Rashawn wins the tally. The field,
really?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I also know, Rashawn, that you felt like I was attacking you. But genuinely, you brought in the most movies that I liked. You had...
Really?
Yes!
I did not think that at all. We were going through the list last night, and I was like, I have the least movies on the list out of everyone. Because I hosted a lot of format episodes, and I was like, this is bad for me. This is very bad for me.
I mean, the only one that I brought in that didn't belong to me was Rashawn's, was Bad Times at the El Royale. You brought that one in.
I did.
The only one I came to this gauntlet with.
Well, I'm touched and a little embarrassed.
You gonna take back all that yelling you did?
No!
Nah.
Oh. Well, Sam, you got one.
I reign supreme with one. I will hold on to Halloween.
It's a goodie.
It's a good one to have.
Any thoughts, comments, concerns before we close the gauntlet for good?
Yeah, I cannot believe Clueless and Hairspray won two acting performances. But that's okay. That's okay.
Are you still going with that I didn't say anything bad about comedy? Because that sounds very pointed.
I didn't say anything bad about comedy. I sure didn't.
What's wrong with Clueless and Hairspray are both fantastic comedies.
There's nothing wrong with them. There's certainly nothing wrong with them.
Any runner-ups that you guys wanted to mention that you didn't get a chance to?
Michael Giacchino for the Batman.
Mm-hmm. I had Soderbergh for Ocean's 11.
Gina Rodriguez for Annihilation.
I had Diablo Cody writing Juno.
Same. I regret not duking that out. I have Steven Spielberg for The New West Side.
I had Mike Feist.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yes. I also had Midsommar for horror.
Well, that's a good one.
Also Cynthia Erivo for Bad Times at the El Royale. Bad Times at the El Royale, I had on five different categories. I was getting that shit in no matter what.
Like, somewhere it's going. Like,
I'm not even writing it down because Josh will bring it.
Like, it will be on
I
there.
Went from never hearing of it to it being on my Letterboxd top four.
It's such a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
My action movie. Yes. Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
I knew it. I knew it. No. It was either that or Franchise. I'm like, it's
I was waiting.
But I went with Death Proof instead, and y'all showed your ass.
I fucking love Death Proof, man.
And with that, we close the Win Cinephiles Attack movie gauntlet.
Whew.
Sam, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for always having me on. It's always such a blast.
Thank you for being on our show a whopping 10 times?
Damn. That's crazy
shit.
You get a jacket in the mail. Just if you don't know when, just be looking out for it.
I'm gonna go into his closet, steal one of his jackets, and then just jam it into the mailbox.
Just like put a little pin on it.
WTA. Wow, that's amazing.
I love that you guys
are an honorary cinephile.
Cinephile.
For life.
Thank you. That's very special to me. It means a lot.
That's it for this week's episode. We've got one more for you guys before we say goodbye. I'll cry next week. It's fine. But that's it for this week's episode. Find us on the socials like you always do at Cinephile Attack on Instagram and Twitter. Email us at wincinephilesattack@gmail.com. But for today, from Rashawn,
Mella,
Josh,
Lacey,
and Sam,
thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
One more time for the people, Rashawn. Play Spirit.
Oh. Record scratch and into Voodoo Mama, please. Thank you.